We came for any other reason. We were here for the wrong reason. Amen. Sometimes we come and we want to say, God, bless me. God, do this. God, do that. Sometimes we need to just come and open our eyes and say, God, let me. God, allow me. Amen. And instead of us always asking Him for something, because that's what today's society is like. Amen? It's gimme, gimme, gimme. We want all that we can get without any responsibility of getting it, without any putting any effort to it. Today's society just wants everything pretty much handed to them. That's right. And that's a little bit about what we're going to preach on tonight. And there's going to be a lot of similarities tonight to this morning's message that Todd brought, but with a different twist. Tonight, with the help of the Lord, we're going to try to teach you through preaching on how to keep yourself from sinning. Wow. There's a thought, huh? See, a lot of times we want to preach about what to do after we sin, but tonight we want to focus on what to do before you sin. How you can keep yourself from sinning. And yes, you can keep yourself from sinning. Amen? And that's the title of the message is Keep Thyself from Sin. If you would turn with me, my first reading is going to come out of Proverbs, the 4th chapter. Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 27. And when we get done there, we're going to go to, we'll probably go to Jude after that. So Proverbs 4, verses 14 through 27 reads, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings." In other words, listen intently. "Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." You may be seated. Now we see here how the Lord is telling us to stay away from wicked people. Stay away from wicked things. Amen. Avoid those things. That's what he said here. This is not me paraphrasing. He told us to avoid those types of people and to avoid those types of things. Now, it's not by coincidence that he's telling us that if we'll do these things, then we'll live a good life. We'll live the way that we should live. We'll keep ourselves from sin. All right? So, if we look in the Bible, a lot of people today are teaching that God is going to keep us from sinning and God is going to keep us in His perfect heart. No, it takes some work on our part. Amen? It's not something that we can just sit back and release ourselves of all responsibility and say, God's going to keep me away from it. No, you're going to have to keep yourself away from it. The Bible doesn't say that He would keep the devil away from you, and He doesn't say that He would draw Himself to you. He says if you resist the devil will flee. And if you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. Amen? It's not a thing where you just sit back and see, this is where the church has gotten to today. The church, people just want to come to church, sit back and say, okay, here I am. I've done all that I need to do. And like Carly said, you know how reasonable duty is not just enough. I've done all I need to do. Now, God, you bless me. Now, God, you keep me out of trouble. Now, God, you do this. Now, God, you do that. But we've got some responsibility. We're accountable. Amen? We are accountable for what? We are accountable for our actions. Not each other's actions, not somebody else's actions, but our actions. We are accountable for these things. And the Bible, there's many places, and it's beyond me because you don't really hear a lot of people preach about keeping away from sin and staying out of sin and how not to sin in your life. We hear a lot of people saying what to do after you sin. And it just amazed me when I was kind of studying this in the last couple of weeks is how little I've heard people preach about keeping away from it. I'm not saying that I haven't ever heard it, but I'm saying we don't hear a lot of it. And you know, hindsight's 20/20. Amen? It's easy to know what to do after it's already done. But sometimes we need to get back to the basics and understand and realize and learn what we need to do to keep ourselves from sin. Now, I'll tell you another popular thing that the devil has introduced to the church, and it's kind of running rampant, is we're using a crutch in today's society and saying, well, the Bible says that I'm going to fall short. The Bible says that I'm going to fail. So we use that as a crutch and just do it anyway. Just do it inadvertently. And know that we're getting ready to sin. Know what we're getting ready to step into is wrong. Know that we're getting ready to go into a place that we shouldn't be going or doing something that we shouldn't be doing. But we do it anyway because we got this crutch. We tell ourselves, well, it's all right. I can do this because God will forgive me later. That's premeditated sin. Amen? And we need to be real careful to make sure that we don't do something that God's going to turn His back on us for. Because He said in His Word that He'll not strive with man always. Amen? We need to be real careful. We need to try to keep ourselves from sin. We need to try to keep ourselves from failing. We need to try to keep ourselves from falling. Now, the best way to do that is to keep ourselves away from unrighteous things. Unrighteous places. Unrighteous people. Amen? That's the best way to keep yourself from it. To find yourself engulfed, just like the brother said this morning, find yourself engulfed in the Word of God and what He expects of us. Amen? And to be quite honest with you, yeah, there's a lot in here that we have to live up to, but He doesn't require a whole lot of us. He just requires that we live for Him. That we love Him and that we love one another. The Bible says to love your brother as yourself. Amen? I don't know. I mean, yeah, like the brother said this morning, sometimes it's hard, but a lot of times it's easy. We make it harder than it really is. Turn with me to the book of Jude. We're probably going to read this whole thing, and you know, I kind of struggle with that. I said, God, that's a lot of reading. It's not really a whole lot. I mean, it's only 25 verses. But I said, man, that's a whole lot of reading to keep people's attention that long. But when it's God's Word, it shouldn't ever be too much, should it? Maybe we're not getting enough through the week. I don't know. But God knows. So in Jude, the book of Jude, starting at the first verse, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, that's us, amen, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, hopefully we're all called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. What a greeting. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained of this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he have reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness and darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." I want you to pay close attention to the next few verses, starting there at 20 again. "But ye, beloved, building up your own selves." Amen? "On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." So we see here that God is able to keep us from falling. I just read it to you there. He's even able to keep you from failing. But it's also going to take some work from your part. You got to keep yourself from sin. You got to keep yourself out of situations that you shouldn't be in, out of places that you shouldn't be in. And sometimes that's hard to do, because then you know they want to laugh at you, and they want to poke fun at you, and they want to say, "Well, he thinks he's better than everybody else," or "he's just an old holy roller." But I'm telling you that what people will say about me down here don't amount a whole lot. Don't make a whole lot of difference to me. Because the most important thing to me is what God's going to say when I stand before him in the judgment. What's he going to think? What's going to be his impression of me? What have I done to give him the reason to allow me into heaven. Now you say, well, all I have to do is be saved. Yes, you must be saved. The Bible clearly states that. We must be saved. We must turn ourselves over to Him. But it doesn't just stop there. There's some things that we have to do. We have to keep ourselves from spot. We have to keep ourselves from blemish. We have to keep ourselves from sin. The Bible says to avoid the very appearance of sin. To avoid it. Just even the very appearance of it. Run from it. Stay away from it. Keep yourself from it. Don't get caught up in it. Because I'm telling you, and I just read it to you over there in Proverbs, how wicked men are seeking who they can cause to fall. Amen? They want you to fail. They know what their destination is, and they don't want to go by themselves. They want to take as many of us with them as they can. Now, it's not any fault of their own. It's what the devil has planted in them. And they want to destroy you. They want to take you down with them. Amen. Amen. I know when I was lost, that you know, I didn't, you know, try to be nice around godly people. If godly people came around me, as a matter of fact, I had a friend of mine that, he wasn't a close friend, but he had gotten saved, and there was a few times that after he got saved, I offered him beer. I'm ashamed to say that tonight, but the fact of the matter is, the devil don't care who he uses, church. He'll use anybody that he can to affect you, to offend you, to try to turn you from God. Amen. In Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." In other words, remember the things that you've seen. Remember the things that God has birthed in your heart and birthed in your soul. The things that have helped you along the way. The good things in your life. The good righteous things that God has bestowed upon you and blessed you with. Remember those things. And not only remember them, but teach them to other people. Explain them to other people. See, I don't know about you, but the best way for me to learn things is not just to read it. See, I sit in classes all the time at work, and it just bores me to tears to sit there and listen to somebody read something and talk about the same thing. And it bores me to tears to have to sit and just to read a book that tells you how to do this just step by step by step. I need to read it and then either speak it out and explain it to somebody else, or I need to actually do it. Amen? I'm just one of them kind of people. I don't learn easily from reading. I'll be honest with you, I don't even enjoy reading. I told that to a guy at work one day. He said, "How are you a preacher? How in the world can you preach you don't enjoy reading?" I said, "Let me re-clarify. I don't enjoy reading just a normal book, a novel, or something that's, you know, I don't know, just a book. I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to even read commentaries and things like that. But there's something about this Word that when I open it up and I begin to read it, it becomes alive to me and it speaks to me. It's more to it than just being a book. It's a living, breathing thing. It's a living thing. It always speaks to me. When I open it, I can just read. Sometimes, Brother Ricky, I can just read one verse, and man, it just bursts something in me, and it's all I can do to contain myself. It's like a while ago, I was sitting over, and Terry looked over at me and shook his head, and I didn't know if he was saying, "I got it," or "You got it." But man, I was ready to go. Just something about that Word. And we need to, when God bursts those things into us, we shouldn't just hoard that up inside of ourselves. We should share it with other people. Amen? Share it with others for a couple of different reasons. For one, so that you don't forget. And for another, is it so that somebody else can receive it? Amen? Keep thyself diligent, that lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, the things that your heart have comprehended. Amen? He didn't say that He'd force you to do it. He said, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. For us to put something to it, put some work into it, put some effort into it. Amen? To keep ourselves from failing, to keep ourselves from falling. I think that's the biggest failure of the church today. And I'm not, when I say the church, I don't mean unity, but I want us to be careful that we don't fall into these things. I want us to be forewarned that these things can happen. But one of the biggest failures of the church today is we allow sin to take place. People have gotten to the point, I'm telling you, church, pastors and preachers have gotten to the point where they will stay away from sin. They won't preach it. They're scared they're going to hurt somebody's feelings. They're scared they're going to run somebody off. They're scared somebody ain't going to pay their salary for the month. They're scared that somebody ain't going to put any money in the offering plate. They're just scared. And I'm telling you, church, this is the only thing that we got is the Word. We can't be afraid of it. We can't be afraid to tell people that sin's going to send them to hell. Amen? That unrighteousness is going to send them to hell. That being ungodly is going to send them to hell. We can't keep that in and keep from letting people know that. It's imperative that we encourage one another and tell one another daily. Amen? That unrighteousness is ungodliness. And it'll send us to hell. Because each and every one of us, who in here doesn't need to know? Right? We all need to know that, don't we? Don't we all need that reiterated to us? Obviously we do. Because God keeps preaching it to us. It speaks about it over and over in the Word. So obviously our flesh needs to know that on a regular basis. Why? Because our flesh wants to overcome our spiritual man and do the things that it wants to do. But it's imperative that we keep ourselves from sin. And there's only a few ways to do that. You got to stay close to God. You got to avoid the very appearance of evil. Amen. Don't put yourself in bad situations. I've had Christian women asked me to meet them and talk to them, and I said, I'm not going to meet you without somebody else or with my wife, without my wife being with me. And I don't say that because I want to offend them or that I feel like that they're going to try to attack me or anything. But I say that because of perception's sake. It's important, church, that we see, here's what gets us in trouble. We get the big head and we get the big mind and we start thinking, well, I don't care what everybody else says. I don't care what everybody else thinks. We got to be careful and understand and realize we're in a position where we should care what other people think. Because our actions, amen, our actions are what they will use against us. Well, I saw, he ain't much of a pastor. I saw him having lunch with some other woman. They don't realize that maybe that person is counseling that woman. But do you see what I'm saying? You've got to avoid that situation. We have to keep ourselves from that situation. Not just that situation, but everything that has the appearance of sin. Amen? Not just that it is sin. I'm not telling you just to avoid sin because we already know that we're supposed to avoid sin. We already know that we're not supposed to sin in our life. But I'm telling us we need to avoid the very appearance of sin. It's imperative that we do so. Especially in this day and age. Especially in this time. Because people are looking. Listen to me, church. People are looking for one of two things. Lost people, this is what they're looking for. One of these two things. Some of them are looking for somebody that actually lives what they say. Can I get an amen on that? They want to see something that's real. They're tired of seeing fake. They see fake all the time. Turns out I see fake all the time. The other people are looking for you to fail so that they can throw it back in your face. Amen? That's what they're looking for. One of those two things. So how do we avoid those two things? Stay as close to God as we possibly can. Avoid everything that we even think might be construed as sin. Amen? Avoid it. Stay away from it. Don't go around it. You're just setting yourself up for failure. That's all you're doing. When you keep going around things that you know you shouldn't go around. And I don't know why God's preaching this tonight, but He knows. But we've got to stay away from it. We've got to avoid it. James 1 verses 21 through 27 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Listen to this. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain." Now listen to this. Verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." To keep himself unspotted from the world. I've read that scripture a million times, church, and it never hit me like that. I think that I've always focused on the part of, you know, visiting the fatherless and visiting the widows and taking care of the widows. I've always looked at that part of it, but I've never that part has never really stuck out to me like it did over the last couple of weeks. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. It takes some effort on our part. So that's what's going on today, is everybody wants everything without any effort. We don't want to put any work into it. We don't want to do anything to earn it. We just want it because it's there. People today feel like everything is owed to them. Like they don't have to do anything to get it. You just owe it to me. Just because I'm here. Right? It's our responsibility. It's our obligation to keep ourselves from sin. Now it's the preacher's responsibility to preach it to you. Amen? To give you good sound instruction. To tell you that sin is sin. That heaven is sweet and hell is hot. Amen? And that's our responsibility. But then you've got some responsibility. Amen? You've got to decide if you're going to follow the instruction or if you're not going to follow the instruction. I just read it to you. Be not a hearer of the word only. See, I can tell you numerous people who have come up to me and said, "Man, that was a good message. Boy, I really did appreciate that message. Man, that was sure for me, man. It just spoke to me. Just got all over me, one side, up one side, down the other. Just, it was just all over my life." Well, why didn't you go to the altar? Oh, I'll do that later. I'll tell you what. When the Spirit is on you, that's the time to go. Amen? Not to put it off, because later, it might not be there anymore. All right? I'm the only one who believes that tonight. Okay. We want the wealth of God's blessings on us, but we don't want any responsibility and we don't want to put forth any effort. In John 14, verses 23 and 24, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Wow. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Let me read that again. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. In other words, his commandments, his laws. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I tell you tonight, I'm glad that Jesus made his abode with me. I'm glad that he has set up camp in my heart. I'm glad that he instructs me when I'm wrong, which is very often, church. I'm glad that he tells me before I do wrong. Amen. Sometimes I still fail. Sometimes I still come up short. Sometimes I still make a mistake. Even though he's telling me the whole time, Robbie, don't do that. Don't do that. Sometimes I can just imagine him, and I was thinking about that this morning when we was talking in Sunday school, and I can just imagine him sitting up there, and I'm going to pat myself on the back just for a minute if that's all right, but sometimes I can imagine him just sitting up there saying, just smiling and saying, boy, I'm so proud of him. Then other times I can imagine he just looks up at God and says, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. I just don't know what I'm going to do with him. Have you ever felt that way? Don't we do the same thing with our children? Sometimes we look at them and we say, oh man, we're proud. I'm so proud that that child's mine. Another time we look at them and say, I don't know what you're talking about. That kid ain't no mine. That's her baby. Right? Come on, I ain't the only one. Every time Sarah or Kim does something bad, I say, it's your daughter again. Not that they're evil, wicked children, but, well, one of them maybe. But I can only imagine how he feels sometimes with me. But you know what? It doesn't matter. He still loves me. In spite of it, church, he still loves me. He still loves you. But we owe it to him. Church, we owe it to him to try our very best to live as godly as we possibly can. Amen? Don't we owe him that much? You may fall, you may slip, you may make mistakes, but you owe it to him to at least try. To give it everything that you've got to keep yourself from sin. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.